Thanks so much, Don and Jim and Celeste. Don wrote that song. That would be the man in the white shirt. He's our youth pastor and worship leader and does a great job. He wrote that song after we had a series in the book of Ephesians and from the prayer there. Appreciate it so very much. If you have your Bibles along with you, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll be looking at some texts here in the book of 1 Samuel. And we have already said Happy Mother's Day to the mothers who are here. And we're going to look into the Word of God. And the title of the message is A Mother Who Believed in the Power of Prayer and the Power of Praise. And in chapter 1, you see her understanding and belief in the power of prayer. In chapter 2, you see how she, in a beautiful way, gives praise to the Lord for what He has done for her. There are some famous mothers who made some very interesting statements in times past. For instance, Christopher Columbus's mother said, "I don't care what you discovered, you still could have written me." Michelangelo's mother said, "Can't you paint on walls like other children? Don't you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling?" Abraham Lincoln's mother said, "There you are again with that stovepipe hat. Can't you just wear a baseball cap like the other kids?" Thomas Edison's mother said, "Of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb. Now turn it off and get to bed." And then one more. Paul Revere's mother said, "I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight is past your bedtime." The midnight ride of Paul Revere. We have a beautiful record of a mother who really understood the importance of prayer and a relationship with the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1, 26 and 27, she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me my petition, which I ask of Him. And I have given him," some translations, "I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be given to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah had a deep devotion to God and to her family. And she understood a lot about prayer, which is seen in the things that she said and in her testimony of praise in chapter 2. God does answer prayer, we know that. The Lord encourages us to pray in many portions of Scripture, especially Jeremiah 33:3, where He says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." We who are here today, most of all, almost all of us understand that the Lord doesn't always say yes when we bring a request to Him. Sometimes He says no, and it's an answer to prayer. Just like with our children, we cannot always give them the things that they ask for. The Lord says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait, and sometimes He answers our prayers in different ways than we absolutely expected Him to work. But Hannah was very diligent in her request to the Lord, and she actually made a vow to the Lord, as it says in verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to you, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And of course, that's the statement of the Nazarite vow, which was given in the Old Testament as well. I want to pause at this point and say a little bit about making a vow, V-O-W, to the Lord in prayer. I am not discouraging making a vow, but when we make vows, I am amazed. I've looked at it before. Some of you have as well, of how the Lord requires of us the vow that we make to Him. When you make a vow to the Lord in prayer, you are required to carry it out. Deuteronomy 23:21 says, "And when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to repay it or to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you." That's strong terminology. So what am I saying at this point? I'm trying to say, okay, we're going to look at Hannah and her prayer, and we're going to see that she did make a vow, and all I'm doing at this point is saying, let's be cautious when we make a vow to the Lord. As difficult as it must have been for her when that little guy came along, Hannah kept her vow to the Lord and gave her son Samuel back to him. She vowed that her son would live in the priestly community and not be raised in their own home, her and her husband's home, with her. God heard Hannah's prayer and her vow and gave her the son that she asked for. Now, again, I'm staying with the vows for just a minute. The Lord does want us to ask of Him things that we need and request, but there's a category that we're talking about here, and that's making a vow. Sometimes people make vows to God when they get in trouble. Lord, if you will heal me, I will quit getting drunk. Lord, if you will get me out of this mess, I promise that I'll be a missionary. We need to be careful, don't we? Vowing in prayer does not mean bargaining with God. I am amongst those who studied this text carefully and do not believe that Hannah was bargaining with God. Vowing in prayer, according to Elmer Towns, the dean at Liberty University Theological School, he says, vowing in prayer goes deeper. When we make a vow to God, we're saying, Lord, here's something that I want to do for you. Yes, she did say, if you do this, I'll do this. But her heart was in pleasing God. Making a vow to God means going deeper into the presence of God and committing what we want to do to be His will in our lives. Completely committing to be doing His will. So therefore, all I'm saying is that since vow is used in here, and since we're looking at the prayer life of Hannah, I'm saying I need to be. Okay, let's put it back on me. I need to be, but we need to be very careful that we do not make unwise vows. For instance, like someone who said, and let's create the scenario, and let's say that they meant well, okay? The scenario is, I vow to meet with you, Lord, 10 minutes a day early in the morning. There's nothing wrong with the statement, but to put the vow aspect in there, well, the day comes along when the person sleeps in and doesn't get up early and doesn't spend the 10 minutes a day, and the vow's broken. So it's best to say, Lord, I will do my very best to have quiet time with you. We heard that in a testimony of a mother this morning, too, actually. We want to say, Lord, I will do my very best to have a quiet time with you every day. And by the way, if we stumble, supposing, and this vow thing is really important, if we stumble and we falter in relationship to a vow, what should we do? Well, maybe I've made some vows, Lord. I tried to look back when I looked at this subject and did I really make a vow to God? But I'll tell you what, when we make a promise to the Lord, we say, Lord, I really want to do this. We need to follow through. And if we falter, what should we do? Well, what does a little child do when a little child's learning to walk? The child stumbles and falls. What does the child do? The child picks up. And likewise, we could look in our lives and say, Lord, there's been times when I've faltered and I've stumbled. And we keep going spiritually. We don't allow anything that comes into our lives. After sin is confessed, we don't allow anything to keep us from going on with the Lord. And I believe that's a very important subject, a very important area. Well, in verses 1 through 8, we see Hannah's sorrow. And I want to read verse 2 with you of chapter 1. And Elkanah had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now again, here we go into what does the Bible teach. You and I know that the Bible teaches that God's ideal for the human family was one man, one woman for wife. And we're not going to get into the subject of divorce. We know divorce takes place, and divorce is very hurtful to those who go through it. And we're not in any sense trying to be judgmental towards those who have gone through something where at least one of the two, possibly, I don't know, would say this has been the most painful thing in my life. But God's ideal, again, is one man and one woman, one husband, one wife for life. And we get a chance to teach that when we open the Bible and we teach our children. And here we see we have a man named Elkanah, and he has two wives. So then we say, okay, what is that God's will? No, that's not God's perfect will. Okay? He's living with two wives. Elkanah, Hannah's husband, was in a divided home. And his favorite wife was Hannah, the one who did not have children. And she had a constant burden of sorrow because she could not give birth to a child because of the persecution also of his other wife. We're told in verse 6 that Peninnah ridiculed Hannah because, well, look what it says in the text. We have to look carefully at Scripture. It says, because the Lord had closed her womb. Okay, so God's involved in this. Verse 7, year after year it was the same when Peninnah and the family would go up to worship the Lord at the temple, that Peninnah would taunt and ridicule Hannah because she couldn't have children. But Peninnah could have children. In verse 8, we see that her husband truly loved her. But his encouragement did not bring her comfort. And so Hannah's in a very difficult situation, to say the least. She's experienced hurtful words from someone else in the family. And you and I know that while we cannot keep others from unjustly criticizing us or choosing how choosing to move away from that situation, we can choose, however, how we will respond to the hurtful words of others. And of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a glorious example, because there are times when the Bible says he opened not his mouth. And there are times when you will have in your experience, you will find some negative things come along. And the best thing we can do is to not say anything. Hannah was in a real difficult situation. She had a severe problem. And we've heard this 100 times. Don't dwell on your problems. Haven't we heard that? Don't dwell on your problems. She could dwell on her problems because, first of all, she couldn't have children. Secondly, she shared her husband with another man. And third, with another woman, rather. And thirdly, she had a loving husband, but he couldn't solve her problem. A lot of times, you know, nobody's really helping me with this problem. And even the high priest in the tabernacle, he misunderstood her. So where do we go when we're desperate with our need? The scriptures are so very clear, as we heard sung this morning. God wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to come into his presence. The psalmist knew this, and he said in Psalm 27:5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. You know what this passage is saying? Psalm 27:5. When we're in a time of trouble, you know what we need to do? We need to get close to the Lord. We need to say, Lord, it's you. I need you. And I appreciate all the help of brothers and sisters in Christ. But Lord, I need you now. He wants us to get into his presence and realize that we live in his presence. When we drive away from church, we're driving away in the presence of our Lord, who's always watching over us. And we looked at those verses in Sunday school this morning. Talked about how the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. There's never a time when you're going through things and you're misunderstood or you're lied to or people don't appreciate what you do. The Lord's always watching after you. Hannah knew that. She realized that. But she had a period of barrenness in her life. And you and I as believers, we can have many good days, many good months. But all of a sudden, something comes along and, oh man, you know. So what do we do? What did the psalmist say? In a time of trouble, I go to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I need to abide in your presence. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never suffer the righteous to slip and fall, to be moved. Her supplications given, her sorrow is through verse 8. Her supplication to the Lord is given in 9 through 18. And I'm going to read 9 and 10 with you in verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli the priest was standing on the seat by the doorpost, sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. One of the things you want to think about when we think of Hannah, this mother who really believed in the power of prayer and really went to the Lord with her deepest need, is the fact that the future of that generation of Israel rested in the hands of this godly woman. Think about that. Remember, Samuel was born. Samuel became one of the greatest of the prophets of the Lord. And some people say, well, now wait a minute. Would Hannah have had that son if she hadn't prayed to the Lord? And do you know, I believe the answer is, and you can study this yourself, get into the Word of God, read what it says. I believe she would not have had that son if she had not prayed to the Lord. You say, can you get anybody to back you up on that? Charles Stanley, he's a pretty good guy, isn't he? Charles Stanley asked the question, would Samuel have been born if Hannah had not asked God to give her a son? And he said, he agrees with me. No. Because the Apostle James says in the New Testament, there are some things that we don't have because we don't ask the Lord. James said, chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. So let's encourage ourselves, thinking of Hannah this morning, let's encourage ourselves in relationship to especially bringing the deepest concerns of our hearts to the Lord. You know, all of us have some kind of a prayer list. And on that prayer list, you know, you say, well, there's 10, 9, 8, 7, and let's say number 10. That's the thing that's really the burden of my heart. What the Lord says is, bring that burden to me. Bring your deepest concern to me and watch me work, just as Hannah watched the Lord work. Prayer is powerful, and we as believers need to continue to develop our ability to take the deepest needs and concerns of our hearts and give them to the Lord. Little parenthesis here. There are many books out there that encourage you to pray. The best book that encourages us to pray, of course, is the Word of God. And, of course, you have to get into it. You have to see what the Lord has said. I have found, I have some favorite books to give to men, and I have some favorite books to give to women. I have a favorite book that I think every woman should read. It's entitled The Power of a Praying Woman by Stormy O'Mardian. I think every Christian woman, without exception, say, boy, there he goes in extreme again. Let's pray for the pastor. I think every Christian woman should read this book because there are 30 short little chapters that encourage a woman to pray in the area of her deepest concerns. Okay? And I've got a little sign-up sheet. If you would like this book, sign your name on it. How much? I don't know. It's around $10. Could be 20, I don't know. No, it's about $10. And if you would sign up here, we'll get you one. I'm serious as I can be. I don't think there's any other book on prayer geared to women which takes in the deepest concerns of their hearts. Okay? Moving along, when Hannah prayed, she prayed out of sorrow. She laid, again, I'm using this terminology, her deepest concern. She gave it to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, the Apostle Peter knew what it was to have deep concerns as he had failed the Son of God, as he had been unfaithful to the Lord, and yet the Lord restored him. And so now Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Her prayer was born out of sorrow. Her prayer involved submission to the Lord. She says, Lord, I'm going to give you this little child back. Her prayer involved sacrifice, and that was giving him to the Lord for the rest of his life. She's in tune with God's will for her life. And you see in here the poor example of Eli the priest, who sees Hannah praying, and she's in the place of worship, and he wrongly concludes that she's in a drunken condition. It says in verse 13, Hannah spoke in her heart, but her lips didn't move. You and I are those as believers who, there are a lot of times when we're bringing our requests to the Lord and we're not praying audibly out loud. There are times when we should pray with other believers, but much of the time we're bringing the burdens of our hearts to the Lord, and He sees our hearts. This really touched me that Eli the priest, he was so out of tune and out of fellowship with God that he falsely accuses this woman who comes into the place of worship. There are times when we're in silence before God and He does an interesting work in our hearts. That's why, again, we need to learn to be in the presence of the Lord and lift up to Him our greatest concerns. I thought it was, when I saw that, it reminded me of the salvation experience of John Wesley. Some of you may remember this. He's the founder of the Methodist Church movement. And John Wesley, after listening to the reading of Martin Luther's introduction to Romans at a meeting in Alder Street Church in London, he said this. Listen to this. This is interesting. Listen to this. This is something. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. A society, a group meeting together. When one was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans, about a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart of individuals through faith in Jesus Christ, he said, you've heard this phrase before, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust Christ, Christ alone for salvation. An assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even my sins, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And you see, what we see here is that when he got saved, when he came to faith in Christ, he didn't pray out loud. But he was in the presence of the Lord, and he knew that the Lord was doing a work in his heart. And, you know, my friends, we need to be encouraged. You see, you can be driving along in the car. You can be talking to somebody on the phone. But you and your God, you connect, and you bring your requests to Him. And it is amazing what the Lord will do in your life and experience. We do a whole lot of silent praying. Hannah prayed and said to the Lord, her lips were moving, no audible sound, Lord, I give my need to you. Text is clear, she conceived and bore a son in verse 20 and gave him the name Samuel, which means ask of God. She took Samuel to the temple, she followed through in verses 27 and 28. We read, for this child I prayed and the Lord has granted me my request. And I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be dedicated to the Lord. And then just briefly, in chapter 1 we see her prayer. But in chapter 2, wow. You know, after God answers your prayers, it's really good when you can tell someone. And some of you have done this many times. Boy, you know, the Lord did something for me this week. You know, after church today, when you're talking to somebody. Boy, I thank the Lord for what he's done for me. We can all say together, thank the Lord that tornado didn't touch down in Louisville, right? He just watches over us. He just keeps blessing us abundantly. Well, Hannah's prayer is in chapter 1, but her praise is in chapter 2. And she has an awesome relationship with the Lord. And you notice she says in 2:1, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Well, of course her heart rejoices in the Lord, because she knows that God gave her that baby boy. But you see, she doesn't say, my heart rejoices in my baby boy. My heart rejoices in my Lord because He has given a gift to me. He has out of His strength. And by the way, that is beautiful. You look at the text and some translations like the New King James, which I use. It says in verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and my horn is exalted in the Lord." The word horn there is a reference which was used in that time to refer to strength. And she says, my strength, the supply of God in my life, comes from Him. It doesn't come from me. And she's rejoicing. And she looks ahead to the Lord, and she even has a revelation that someday the Lord, the Anointed One, will come. At the end of her prayer there, the Anointed One will come and will bless His people. That is found in verse 10. And actually, there's a future reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just some conclusions together. Number one, don't let anything cause you to lose your confidence in the power of prayer and in your ability to connect with the Lord. I sought the Lord, the psalmist said, and He heard me, and He delivered me out of all my fears. Now look, don't miss that verse. There are some things that come along in our lives that give us some fear. You know, we're concerned. What's going to happen here? But what does He say? I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from my fears. And see, what the Lord is in the business of doing is delivering us from things that will pull us down. Okay. Don't lose confidence in your knowledge of the power of prayer. Secondly, all children are a gift from the Lord. We are to dedicate them to the Lord. We can do it privately. And I've known many parents, ourselves we have. You can do it privately or you can do it publicly. If the Lord encourages you to dedicate your child publicly, this is an encouragement to the family of God who is there with you. You let the Lord lead you in that, but we dedicate our children to the Lord and we pray for them every day like we pray for our spouses every day. Furthermore, just quickly, God can and does produce miracles in families with great difficulties. Sometimes people will say, well, I know this situation and it's such a mess. You know what? God's in the business of helping people. Elkanah had two wives. He's got some problems, doesn't he? Under the same roof. But did God stop answering prayer there? No. And did Elkanah stop worshiping God? No. He took his family to the house of the Lord. And they worshiped and they prayed. And he did the best he could to encourage the wife that he had who did not have children. God can and does produce miracles in families that may have difficulties, but He still works, and we could go into a testimony time that would be awesome. And one more thing. When Hannah surrendered the object of her deepest desire to God, she found release of anguish and peace. You know the verse as well as I do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together.